Alright, now we can. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from Wombox podcast. This is episode 206. Lame characters that are actually kind of cool. That's verbatim.
So we go from awesome creators one week to lame characters the next week.
I got it.
I see a trend.
Yeah, it's quite the reversal. So I'm Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
So, this is an interesting topic Mr. Fox came up with here. Lame characters are actually kind of cool. So I had a little trouble with this, but apparently Caleb found a plethora of ones to use. So it should be interesting.
Well, I think it depends on how we define the topic, but that will come out in this discussion, I think.
Yes, I believe it will. All right, who wants to start? Murray, it was your idea.
Sure, yeah, I'll take it away.
I'll take this
topic because I saw Ant-Man, and it was good.
Oh, man, I loved that movie. It was good.
I was really good.
Pleasantly surprised.
I can't hear you.
Don't worry, we won't be spoiling it. But
have you watched it yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that is that's the epitome there of a lame-o character who just had an amazing movie. So
yeah, see, it's funny because one of because I did a search for lame characters to see what other people thought, and one of the site actually had Ant-Man on there, and I'm like, dude, you don't want to tell you're talking about. I always liked that character personally.
Well, like him or not, he's never had the same sort of cachet that the other Avengers had. He was great in the Avengers, but he was never able really. He never really had his own series. He had a Silver Age strip in Tales to Astonish, but I don't know that it was memorable.
Yeah,
maybe it was. However, it's a great movie.
Yes, it is. So. This is the part that I'm unenjoying. Okay, why would it be considered? Why would is Ant-Man considered lame but actually cool? Let's hear that.
Why is he actually cool?
We'll go with that.
Let me see. I think he was cool. I think I've always kind of liked him, but I only got to know him when he was Yellow Jacket, and he was much cooler as Yellow Jacket. But as Ant-Man in the movie, he's got he's just a real dude, and he's funny, and he's shrinking, and it's cool. When you see the fight sequences are amazing. Being able to use the shrinking and the growing and combining it and stuff, it is a lot more formidable than I would have thought. It's a lot more formidable than you see on the page. When you see the little atom shrink down and then jump up and bop someone on the nose and shrink down again, it's all really static. It's like that.
It really reminded me of Silver Age Atom.
Comics
I've read in Showcase, the Showcase Presents. That's good. That was good stuff. Yeah, but
yeah.
When you throw it's Scott Lang, not
it is Scott.
Yeah. Henry Pym.
And they explain all that. They explain all that. So and they tie it into Marvel Universe history. Even it's very well written, I thought.
They do a good job with it. Yeah, for sure.
But
I remember my first. I actually was a big DC guy, and I remember seeing Marvel premiere number, I think it was number 40, according to Wikipedia, number 47, look at me, in 1979, and thinking, okay, I'll check this out, because like you, Murray, I only knew Yellow Jacket. I didn't know that there was a character called Ant-Man before then, or if I did, it was just in passing, and I picked this up, and I thought it was, he was another Avenger who was a bad guy turned good guy. That was their part of their shtick at the time.
Yeah, it's true.
And I thought it was cool. I mean, he screwed up. He didn't know what he was doing, and then he kind of figured it out as he as he saved lives and did good for the world, and I thought that was neat. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a stupid idea that I think the theme we're going to find in this episode is dumb ideas are really not that dumb if done by a good creator.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's absolutely right. Yeah, I agree. It goes along with my character, one of the characters I picked.
I coolly way to take a stance, Chris.
Yes, damn it. Damn it.
All right, so my first character that I thought is considered lame, but I really like, is I'm going to go with Aqualad. Not Aquaman, because I've always thought Aquaman was kind of cool.
Yes. That was...
The purple-eyed fiend.
Every single list I looked at had him on there.
Had Aqualad on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah, I know.
But really, like, when you think back to his Silver Age adventures, he was like... Oh, just a little baby. And
yeah, they didn't treat him as well. He wasn't as much of an equal partner as Robin was, that's for sure.
Yeah, and in Teen Titans, oh my gosh, he was like, he's a founding member, but they're always looking for excuses to get him off the page and out of the book, and they'll bring him back, and then he's got, like, he's sick, so they make him sick, and then they make him like have some sort of mental issue where he doesn't feel like he's great, and like they are just looking for every single excuse to get this character out of the book.
Yeah, they could have done better with that. That's for sure. And then they, you know, what? How long?
They'd rather have Bumblebee and Mal in the book than Aqualad.
That is exactly it. In the '70s, when the book came back, they found they had Aqualad back, and then they had him sick and put him in a coma. And then he gets up from the coma, and then he's like got a mental hang up about using his powers or about how he's not as good as anyone else. And so they send him away again. And you're right. And they would rather have Mal and the Bumblebee as members.
But how is he cool?
But I think he is cool. I think the miniseries that Phil Jimenez did with him was great. Like, it was beautiful to look at. And he gave Aqualad, like, that awesome costume that was kind of patterned on Aquaman's blue camouflage undersea outfit.
Well, that's when they gave him powers besides Aquaman's, though, when he was supposedly... had sorcerer or whatever.
Yeah, they gave him... Well, I think, yeah, they kind of... I don't know if
changed his name to Tempest.
Yeah, they changed his name to Tempest. But I mean, it was the 90s. Everyone was changing their name, but he got that...
I think he was the last of the founders, though, to get a new identity.
Yeah, I believe he was.
I think so. Because...
Wally West becomes Flash by that point.
Dick was Nightwing.
Yeah.
Donna might have been...
She wasn't a founder. She wasn't a founder.
Who?
Founder.
Oh, yeah, I guess not. Well, kind of. More of a founder than...
Yeah.
I think they consider her a founder.
Yeah. Kidding. I'm being a...
Force blasts, manipulate water currents, make whirlpools.
But yeah, and Roy Harper was Arsenal by that point.
Mm-hmm. Astral projection and travel between dimensions? Holy crap.
Yeah, he didn't need any of that stuff, but it was a good it was a good little hook to get him back into play. But then yeah. I guess they did.
Yes, they
but,
did.
Peter David did some great stuff with him too in like the Aquaman series. Like they made him kind of an equal partner to Aquaman, and he had like that cool relationship with Dolphin, and I loved all that stuff. Like, I loved seeing him come into his own and have his own little family. I didn't like the killing off stuff, but you know.
Oh yeah, Tempest was murdered in Blackest Night. I'd forgotten about that. I kind of remember when.
female dolphin. Come on, that right there, that raises his cool factor up like a gazillion.
Yeah, you got a point there. You have
exactly. So I think he's kind of cool. I think he's cooler than people give him credit for.
I'll give you that.
Having said that, we haven't seen him come back since.
No.
He's not been, you know, they killed him. He stayed dead. They replaced him with a new Aqualad, who was actually pretty cool.
For the three appearances that he had.
According to this. Appearances
before the new 52 came down, and then now there's no more Aqualad.
According to this, Garth makes his first post Flashpoint appearance in Aquaman number 41. That just came out, didn't it?
Yeah, no, really? He was in there. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Now, that doesn't really surprise me. They've had Aqua Girl kind of floating around the fringes for a long time, and I want to say they've kind of hinted at Garth being mentioned or stuff, but he's actually in the book now.
I think he put in his first royal appearance in his last month.
Huh.
But you're right. They've had more of Tula than they've had of Garth, and talk about a throwaway character there.
Yes. I always liked her too.
Interesting.
However, there you go. There's my first one.
Aquaman's got a sword again, I see.
And he's young. They de-aged him.
They did? Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Well, I mean, they didn't actually, but it's just the way he's shown now, he looks a bit younger.
Yeah, boy, that art is unfortunate.
Well, I'm gonna go easy on this one, and I came up with this one all on my own. Oh. I'm going to go with Matter Eater Lad.
Yep,
that's one of mine. As a completely lame idea. A guy who can eat stuff. Congratulations, that's tremendous. But a completely useless power in the scheme of things, unless you're... Go ahead.
I think the right writer could make that a cool character.
Well, that's my point, mm-hmm. is that as soon as Giffen said, you know what, yes, he's ridiculous, so we'll write him as ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then that's... There you go. He's a cool. He becomes cool. Automatically becomes cool just because they embrace the idiocy of his power, mm-hmm. But you know, maintain the fact that he's a. Trust me, I'm a senator, or whatever that line is.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm a senator. That's cool. You're right. They made that a good character.
Yeah, and again, it's what I said before, and what you just reiterated, which is mm-hmm. good creator can take any lame character. There's no such thing as a lame character. There's lame stories, there's lame portrayals, etc. So write him well, draw him well, and he's cool. They gave him the sunglasses, which became a staple for the character. I mean, all the way into the cartoon, he was wearing the sunglasses after that. Up to that point, he was a stupid idea. He should have been killed, not Chemical King. And
agreed.
Or not Invisible Lad or Invisible Kid or any of the other characters. He should have been killed. How he survived that long is a mystery to me. I mean, he was not a smart guy ever. Not even when they all had like generic personalities in the Legion. He was never the smart guy.
No.
He was never the brave guy. He was never the suave guy. He was a background character who... Eight. But then, like I said, then Giffen got his hands on him, and boom. He was cool. We want to see more of him. People keep, where's Tenzel? Where's Tenzel? And that. So, again, lame character that's actually cool. That's my choice.
Good one.
Thank you. Maybe it's an easy one. Maybe it's easy. He will be on every list whenever they – do the CNN list of lame characters. He's always on there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay. Well, mine would be Bouncing Boy. You know everybody considers him lame. But with the right hands, you know, okay, and they did that in one iteration where they made him like an expert in ballistics.
Yes.
And so he was able to, you know, do all kinds of tactical stuff with his bouncing power. And I always loved Bouncing Boy. Even when I was a kid, I never thought he was lame. Even though some of the other characters, depending on who wrote it, would, you know, it's like, well, your power isn't worth anything, so you get to stay here and do the monitor board.
But there was even a story. There was even a story where he had to explain about why someone so lame as him could be a Legionnaire.
Exactly. I remember that. I remember the guy Legion podcast going over it. So, yeah, that would be mine. I mean, you know, and he's not just, you know, for his power, but he's like a morale officer or whatever, which they actually made him that without the powers in one iteration, if I'm not mistaken.
And was that Levitz who put him in that personality role?
No, that was in the Archie Legion, I believe. He was like an architect or something, and that's.
Oh, that's right. He had no power. He just wore the hat all the time.
Yeah, exactly. He was the one that like designed their headquarters for him or whatever, and he just like hung around and was just a background character. So.
He was part of their support team, like Tenzel was at that point, and a couple of the others who maintained their headquarters and stuff.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, and Tenzel was the cook at that time. So yeah, that would be mine though. Bouncy Boy would be the top of the list. Everybody thinks he's lame, but they obviously just can't think out of the box. That's the thing, or the ball in this case.
He was named after Charles Foster Kane.
Was he?
His name was Charles Foster Kane.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Sorry. Who Orson Welles ended up being a really big fat guy by the time he died, so.
Yeah. Interesting.
Probably didn't bounce.
I doubt that highly. Yes.
That we know of.
Yes.
That we know of. It's true. He was very, very rich. He had made a secret identity.
Totally.
Good choice. I mean, I personally always thought Bouncing Boy was cool. My first introduction to him, he didn't actually have powers. Earth War period and stuff. So
yeah, they did because it was like I'm sure they had writers like, well, I can't do anything with this character, so all of a sudden he loses his powers and then I don't have to deal with him. So.
And then he came back, and he still got to marry Duo Damsel.
Yeah, the luckiest Legionnaire, if not anything. And I mean, she at first all she could do was just. Duplicate, but now she could just make as many as, you know, well, at least the way they left it, as many duplicates as she wants. So, yeah, by far, probably the coolest Legionnaire, actually.
In that regard, yes.
Yes. Next to Monel.
Oh.
Depending on who you talk to.
Yeesh.
That's another character that's been much maligned over the years, and Dick Grayson along with it. But anyway.
Yes.
So what do you got?
All right. I have got, for my next one, I'm going to go with Vibe from the Justice League.
That was on every single list I looked at, that character.
And I mean, he's got lots of strikes against him. He's got the breakdancing. Mm-hmm. He's got the parachute pants. He's got that horrible fake put-on accent. Like,
yeah.
He's just terrible. However, having said that, excuse me.
Yes. Bless you. Lord.
Jeff Johns did some. Was it Jeff Johns or was it Sterling Gates? Or maybe it was a little bit of both.
I think it was.
It started off Jeff Johns and then shifted over.
Yeah.
I admit I never did read that entire thing, so.
It was a good series, and he did some great stuff with the character, and I would have preferred to see more vibration. Like Johns and Gates kind of took his vibration powers as being able to. I'm still not clear on it. Like seize the vibration.
It had a dimensional component to it.
Yeah, and that's all fine, but really just being able to vibrate. And break it apart is kind of cool. And I mean that series was good. They gave Vibe like a great personality. And now we're seeing him in Flash on the TV show, and he's an amazing supporting character. He's funny, and he's like full of pop culture references. And you just know he's gonna make like in the next season or two he'll get his little vibration powers. I mean, I think we've already started to see hints, but I think we can do tons with that character. And eventually, he's going to make his way back into the DCU. I mean, he's still there. He's there. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't have a series, so he's floating around the fringes somewhere. But he'll come back.
That's my impossible. Daughter actually cried a little when they killed him off on the Flash show.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorite characters on that show, yeah.
He's so good, and because the show was the way it was, you weren't sure, is it going to be a for real death? Is there going to be a way to get out of it? Is he coming back? And
yeah, I was really shocked when they did that.
And mad, actually,
a little bit.
I know. Well, I was thinking, if he's not back for the second season, that's going to suck.
Well, and I didn't think they would do the alternate universe thing so quick, and they just jumped right into it.
So, oh, for sure.
I was very pleased on how that show's turned out. I love that show. The kids love it, too.
Yeah. And even that costume. They took the lame costume from the 80s, and then they just updated it. And they didn't make a ton of changes. They kept the color scheme, and they kept sort of the design sense, and it looks great.
The Flash costume from the first series was lame because of all those fake looking muscles. It looked like it was made out of styrofoam. That's why it was lame.
No, Vibe's costume.
Vibe's costume. Okay, yes, my bad.
Yeah, I'm not quite certain what Jerry Conway was thinking. At that point, I'm sure they needed. Hey, you need a break dancer in your team, but
that's very possible that they're trying to be relevant or whatever. That's what somebody had said on one of those lists I read. It was like,
Well, I think in that Levitz interview that was out that was posted a couple of days ago, it talked about how the editor that DC was always, you know, half a step behind whatever the latest trend was. And
this is true. Yeah.
Jerry Conway being one of my favorite writers of all time, it's a little painful to think he was one of the co-creators of Vibe and Gypsy. So
yeah, Gypsy wasn't too bad, but I don't know.
We can agree to disagree. She never even got cool.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that's one of the few Justice League runs I read is the Detroit era. That and the Grant Morrison one. Was the only ones I really read. Well, I take that back. But the very first one I did was the Detroit one because it was after Crisis. And I don't know. I was just a Justice League with Aquaman as a leader. I was like, okay, that's going to be interesting.
And it was.
It was. It was actually pretty good.
All good choice. You're right. He's a character easily dismissed and on all those same lists as Bouncing Boy, Matter Eater Lad.
Yep.
But again, in the right hands, Jeff Johns, Sterling. Oh, that Sterling Gates, when he took it on, it was too late by that point for the series, but it was really great. And again, he had Gypsy in there as a supporting character. Hello?
Hello, yes. Sorry, who?
Oh.
Where? Who has Gypsy?
Sterling Gates had Gypsy.
Yeah, he did. He slid her in there too.
Yeah, she was like a princess from another dimension or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. All right, well, my next one comes out of the olden days of 1984-ish, in the surge of independent black and white comic books. And this is actually a team of characters, and they are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What a stupid idea.
It was brilliant.
Well, it is a dumb. In execution, it's brilliant. But if someone were to come to you and say, "Hey, I want to do a comic book about turtles who are also mutants and also ninjas," and we're basically going to make fun of every single trope in comic books that exists up to this point.
That's true.
And you were turned down, and that's what they talk. There's that story that again Levitz talks about with Archie Goodwin turned down the idea.
It wasn't
Levitz. It was Steve Lytle quoted that recently on Facebook, saying that Archie Goodwin, turned down that, and look at this. It's a hit movie multiple times. It's one of the most expensive independent comic books, ever, up there with Cerberus and a couple others that have made the cut. But again, just done well. Eastman and Laird produced, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird produced these four characters, named after Renaissance artists who are, skateboarding, pizza eating. They weren't initially pizza eating, skateboarding, but they morphed into that as they became more kid friendly over the years. Because initially it wasn't a very kid friendly book.
No, I've read some of that original stuff. It wasn't.
And it wasn't even that funny initially. It got funnier, but it was from the get go. It was making fun of. Whoop! Hello.
Little echo. It's gone.
Yeah, from the get-go, it was always making fun of the mutant thing, which, of course, X-Men.
Yeah.
And ninjas, Wolverine, teenagers, which always – teenagers are always cool in comic books. I personally think that it's a lame, stupid idea, but it became cool. And the ones I've read of the issues, even the more recent ones, have been – really good, and it's just it comes down to the creators. If done by a bad creator, this could have been really piss poor. And there have been some piss poor runs on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as there have been with all these other characters. Yeah. But when it's left up to people who understand that it can't be taken seriously, and write it that way. But not like wah-ha-ha, but just don't take it too seriously. It's fun. It's good. It's enjoyable. I can share it with my kids. I can share it with, and now everybody in the freaking world knows who these guys are.
Hold on a second. Murray says he's dropped. You can't hear us, Murray? Whoa. I think we need to drop you. Hold on a second.
All right. Ha-ha.
Well, if that pop-up will keep showing up, I'll do it.
Technical difficulties.
One moment.
Nice right. Show vamp.
There we go. Now let's add him back.
Who else has done Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles over time? It was originally published by Mirage, and then I think currently it's IDW who has their hands on them.
Yes. Are you back, Murray?
I am.
Okay, good deal. All right, continue.
And, of course, there's a sequel coming out of the last crummy movie that I sat through, but it actually made money, so there'll be a sequel. I'm vamping, Murray. I'm just while you came back online.
I never watched it. I got it for the kids, and they seem to like it.
Sit through it. It won't hurt you.
I probably will. I got a bunch of movies I've bought that I haven't seen. I got a stack. I'm looking at a stack of them right here on my desk. I just can't resist that 788 Blu-ray bin at Walmart. Every time I walk by there, I end up with like two or three of them.
Well, they've got a $5 bin at Target.
Well, We don't have a Target in the town. I'm having a
Well,
we're not that big. Okay.
So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is my second of three lame but cool comic book characters, whatever.
Okay.
Alrighty.
This one's gonna shock you. Because I changed mine my third one, and this is what I got. It was on one of the lists, and I totally forgot about this character, but I think it's still a cool. It is actually really cool for the time, and because of, and a perfect example of the first time I ever heard of the character was when James Robinson used it in the Shade series he did. It would be Madame Fatale. Which basically, this was a guy, he was a crime fighter, and he was real bright and rich, and he'd do his thing, shtick, he'd dress up like a woman. It says here like an old woman, but...
That's right!
Yes. So he did that. Basically, he went around as an old woman and used that to his advantage because, you know, he had a walking cane. Used that as a weapon. Was an expert with it. And get in and infiltrate, you know, however he'd do it. And then when it was time to crack skulls, he'd go in there and kick ass. And the first time I'd ever heard of the character was in the Shade Limited series. And that just goes to show you that, you know, it's because of the cross-dressing, it was, you know. Because this was back in the 20s, or the Golden Age, when it was being used, and it got a lot of ridicule, according to this Wikipedia article. It says, seven crappiest superheroes in comic book history. It was listed in Cracked magazine, on Cracked.com. But there you go. He was an actor, and that's how he did his shtick.
He's kind of like a reverse Red Tornado.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It says here, James
How's
Robinson.
That?
Like the original Red Tornado, the Ma Hunk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. James Robinson and Paul Smith featured Madame Fatale in a cameo in 1993's The Golden Age number 4. I guess I missed that. She appears in a panel surrounded by the Fiddler and the Gambler, who all appear to be courting the cross-dressing hero, while other characters, including Wildfire, Harlequin, Psychopire, stand around giggling, apparently knowing Madame Fatale's true gender. See, I missed that. The scene in JSA number 1, August of 1999, depicting the funeral of this first Sandman, Wildcat wonders whether his own funeral will be like the time they buried Madame Fatale here and no one turned up for the funeral, but the touring cast of Locke, Cage, All Fools. That's kind of funny. I missed that one. But anyway, yes. The Shade, James Robinson gives the character a prominent role in The Shade number 4, from 2012, set in 1944. In this issue, Madame Fatale finally finds the location of his daughter. So, anyway, there you go.
Huh. I'll have to dig that one out. I remember liking that series.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Because it was a great series.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was.
There's that link.
Alrighty.
Anyway, go for it.
Alrighty, my next one, my last one. I never thought of him as lame, but I think people did because he just kind of faded out of view. He was in the Justice League for a long time, and then Grant Morrison came along and substituted Plastic Man for Elongated Man, and suddenly Elongated Man was never seen until Identity Crisis.
Yeah, I have to admit, yeah.
Which did him no favors. Mm-hmm. But I think Man is a great character. I think he's just me. I would much rather have Elongated Man in the Justice League than Plastic Man any day of the week. I don't think Plastic Man fits.
I can see that.
He's, I don't know.
Because I know the distinction that I read it somewhere, either it was in a comic or in an article, that the difference between the two is Plastic Man's powers were more diverse, though Elongated Man had a better detective mind. I mean, he could just, you know, Plastic Man could actually put change his shape into anything, even though it looked like Plastic Man. That was the only thing I remember. But anyway, continue. Hello?
The Wiggly Worms.
Yeah, I think Plastic Man works better on his own as an independent character, or...
Probably so.
Or, I mean...
It's one of my dad's favorites, actually.
He did well in Brave and the Bold. Stuff yeah. Batman. So, like, as a one-off team-up, I think... I don't know that he fits. I didn't like him in Justice... I didn't really like him when Roy Thomas kind of retrofitted him into the All-Star Squadron either. Like, it just... It doesn't... He's... The tone of the character is different than the rest of the DCU, I find.
He's not a team character, is what you're saying.
No, he's like a wacky, zany character. He's more...
I'll give you that.
He's more like an ambush bug type character, kind of, than a straight-up hero. Like, I don't know. I would rather see Elongated Man in the team. And I think he is cool anyway. I mean, he's like one of the first characters that didn't have a secret identity. He was like just right up there. I am who I am. He's got the wife. He's a great married couple. They're fun. They're like detectives. Well, she wasn't a detective, but she helped out and stuff.
Yeah.
I've mentioned on here that I wrote an 8-page comic book story with them as Nora, as Dick and Nora, Charles.
Yeah. That would be great. I mean, that's totally them, right? They're like the fun couple that are in love with each other, that love being in love with each other. They just go out, they solve mysteries, they have fun. Like, he enjoys the whole superhero aspect of it.
Yeah.
He enjoys the whole thing. And he's fun. And, I mean, they did stuff with him in Justice League Europe, I think, although I wasn't really following that book too much. So, you know, he's had his moments, but he kind of got shuffled off into the background. And then they had the chance to kind of bring the two of them back as ghost detectives.
Yeah.
But nobody ever did anything with him. Kept them in a
hello.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're choppy there, Murray.
It was
kind
of fun. It was kind of interesting to read. They could have done. Oh, I don't know. They could have done tons of stuff, but not. Spoilers. Spoilers, kind of. If you're reading Secret Six. Secret Six will show you just how cool a character Ralph Dibny can be.
Oh, I'm two or three episodes behind that.
That's all right.
The latest number four. He's okay.
No, number three. I think the first one after. The first one after it's like 6 month, 8 month break.
Okay.
You may have to reread that. I may have missed something there.
Read the last page.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that then.
Yeah. Like, there's, I think Gail Simone is gonna do for Ralph Dibny what she did for Catman.
That would be cool.
I think she's gonna find a way to put Elongated Man back in the DCU in an interesting way.
I'm all for that.
Anyway, I think he's cool, and I think he's ripe for a resurgence.
I'm all for that too.
Yeah, if they can bring back Donna Troy, they can bring back anybody.
Sure.
They haven't brought back Donna Troy.
Well, I agree. Not to digress too badly, but they reused the name, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It depends on your definition, right?
She is a mass murderer. Who they're trying to make into a sympathetic character.
Not good, sir.
Yeah, we could talk about Wonder Woman a whole other time.
That all book right, is, then.
Yeah.
Dropped.
It's not working. Nope. Oh, no. I kind of was thinking, oh, maybe it's going to work. It's not working.
Not working.
No. Well,
no, it was never going to work. She's a mass murderer. She killed all those and participated in the murder of all those male offspring. And then, and now they're going to let her out of prison.
Okay.
And I don't care if that's spoilers because the book has taken a serious crap turn.
Oh, that's fine. You don't bother me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go with in the spirit of how this whole conversation started with Ant-Man. I'm going to walk across the street and I'm going to go with Ray Palmer, the Atom.
Okay. Good.
That's a lame character. Who I personally always thought was kind of cool, but, I mean, he shrunk. Mm-hmm. And the shtick was, how do we make this little itty-bitty character a badass when everything else is bigger than him? That was always his shtick. Mm-hmm. Everything else is big, I'm small, I have to win somehow. Yeah. It co-created by Gardner Fox and Gil Kane. Mm-hmm. And then Gil Kane took the character a few years later, and he did one of the best miniseries of all time, Sword of the Atom. And
they said,
okay, he's a little character. Let's put him in a world where everything else is little. Ha! Huh, shocking. That could possibly work. And it did.
That was a good plan.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's stretching the imagination so far. But no. It was, they had done it in the Hulk, I know. And, it worked there, but that was putting a big guy in a small world. Mm-hmm. But this worked great. I loved Sword of the Atom. I loved most of the subsequent ones. And then they relamed the character. They made him completely lame all over again. But that's a different
story. Different conversation.
It is. And they made him a teenager and all that idiocy. But yeah. I always kind of liked, like I said, I always kind of liked the Atom.
I'd forgotten that whole putting it in the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zero Hour.
It started okay, but yeah, that went to crap mm-hmm. pretty quick.
It was never.
Yeah. You there? Uh-oh. Hello? Hello? Anybody? Anybody? The recording's going. Well, it's the third time in the last couple hours my router just decided to reboot. Oh,
did it reboot?
Yeah, hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here. You there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Okay. Murray, you there?
Murray.
Yeah, there he is.
He's back.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but it just... maybe we've got too much of the kids and everything else, but it's just all of a sudden it just rebooted.
It's all right, been... Well, then, anyhow.
Yes. We were talking about...
Ray Palmer, cool character, done well. Lame character, then came bad, done cool. It's possible again. Good creators will make lame characters cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. End of story.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. That's my number three.
Okay.
I must have missed one.
I was thinking you were going to go with someone else there, Caleb.
Who would you think I was going to go with?
I was thinking you were going to go with Squirrel Girl.
No, because I still think she's lame, so...
Even with the new series?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She's on a lot of the lists too, so...
I
don't know enough about it to agree or disagree. So
I've fallen out of love with that book.
Yeah. Really?
It's the same shtick every month. I get it. It's cutesy. It's cutesy. I get that's the point of the book, but I can't take it in month after month after month. I need a break. Maybe I just need to take. I'll come back to it in a couple months and go, okay, this is cool again, but. Last month and this month.
Alrighty.
After hugging it out with Galactus, that should have been the end of the series. That would have been a great finish to the series.
I can see where you'd say that. Yeah. Let's see. What is going on with this thing?
What's your number three, Chris?
I was going to say Matter Eater Lab, but you used it, and I'm trying to, now that the router rebooted, I'm trying to find something else to...
I've got others. If you're having trouble,
you go ahead. I don't have any very much actually. So
all right. Well, my next one would be Hitman. Again, a dumb idea. A psycho killer guy who's got X-ray vision. That's his shtick. That's his whole thing. But that sounds incredibly lame. But Garth Ennis created it, wrote it with John McCrae doing the art. It was. You know me. I go for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Boys as well.
I know you like that book.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously. It that's fun. But like Squirrel Girl, as we mentioned before, I it's in doses. I could go a couple months without reading it, and then binge read it. Next would be all of the female versions of male superheroes from the Marvel Universe, a la She-Hulk, Spider-Woman, Ms. Marvel. Again, dumb ideas. I mean, look, we'll make a woman green and big and tough. And that's all she was for a while. And then they brought her into Avengers and kind of gave her a better personality. And then John Byrne got his hands on her for Fantastic Four and then her solo series. And she's been cool ever since. I'm glad that they allow her to transform back into her normal self. I know they took that away for a while, but...
Oh, they're doing... Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she can become Jennifer Walters if she wants. I mean, she's always Jennifer Walters. That's the other cool thing about her, ultimately, is that she doesn't get stupid like Bruce Banner did for the longest time. She just stayed her own self, which is why she was never quite as strong or anything, because she balanced out by not losing her personality. And Spider-Woman, come on, how stupid. But, again, in the right hands, when Brian Michael Bendis said, I'm going to make her cool, he actually did. He did make her cool. Same with Ms. Marvel, who not Ms. Marvel anymore, is now Captain Marvel. Again, it's in the right hands.
Yeah.
They can be.
That character has undergone some great some great changes. Because when you think about where she was in the 70s and the 80s. And
feminist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that feminist strident and then that. Was it the Korvac saga? Is that what she was in that kind of kiboshed her for a while?
Was it? It may have been. I would have to read that again. I don't remember when she fell out of off the radar for a while. That may have been
either
the time
way,
though.
I think it was Busiek. Busiek put her back on the map and really did some good strong character work with her and brought her back.
Well, and she's the one of all of those who no longer has a male counterpart.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's back. I have no idea whether he's back or not. No clue. But killed off. So she was the torchbearer for that name for the longest time. And they actually didn't, like you said, they gave her the name after a time. And now she's got a whole Carol Core.
Yes.
But you're right. She has definitely. I think of all those female counterpart characters, she has definitely gone through the biggest retooling of all of them. The current version of Spider-Woman's not. If you go back and read some of those early ones, she is not the same character either. And I hate to say it, but I give Bendis credit for that.
Interesting.
And there's others. I mean, there's others of that same ilk within the Marvel universe, and there's probably a couple in the DC universe as well who are of that same. Oh, we need to create a female version or a teenage version of such and such a character that could have turned out lame. Robin could have turned out lame, but didn't. Speedy was lame for the longest time, and then found his became his own character. Aqualad. Oh, yeah, we already talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Girl. And so on and so on. And it's just, again, if they're done well, they still are around today. Supergirl.
Absolutely.
Supergirl.
Yeah, she was kind of a very lame character for a long time.
Yeah.
So, in lieu of Chris coming up with a third, I have decided to dump.
You go. I'm looking to see if I'm having some kind of trouble with the router. So as long as you can hear me, as long as you can hear the call going, then that means everything's still fine.
And then there was that time. Guy Gardner could have been a lame character, but
you know, okay, I'll comment on that for sure because I hated that character. And then when they brought everything back, you know, the Green Lantern Rebirth and stuff, I actually really liked that character. Of course, until they made him a Red Lantern, but that's another thing.
Okay. Well, John Stewart. John Stewart was I'm the angry black version of Green Lantern, and then now he's, you know, he's the military expert architect guy. And maybe that was always part of his character. I haven't read the early John Stewart appearances, whether he was always supposed to be an architect and an ex-military guy, but no clue.
Cool.
But those are cool versions of the character. And I look forward to, speaking of that real quickly, off topic, on topic, they're going Green Lantern Corps with the movie as opposed to just Green Lantern, which is a great idea. When that movie comes out, it will be Green Lantern Corps.
Huh.
Well, good. That's good. I'd prefer that.
Anyhow, I could go on. And stop me! Stop me! Quick! It'll make it seem like I don't like this stuff, but I actually love it.
I'm trying to think.
Black Canary. What a dumb idea. Done well.
I don't know if that's a dumb idea or not.
Green Arrow.
With that. Green Arrow, I could see that, but that's actually probably one of the most... I don't know.
What am I looking? You're supposed to stop me before I went on.
Okay, well, just stop, dude. Come on.
Okay, I'm stopping. I'm stopping. Falcon. I'm stopping. I gotta stop. Stop, quick. Power Girl. Stop. No, stop.
Power Girl. Shit. that's funny.
Harley Quinn. Oh, wait a minute. No, she was never lame. Sorry.
Oh, God, I can't stand Harley Quinn.
She's just overused.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Oh, that Suicide Squad trailer has got me hooked.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
I love that song. The Bee Gees have always been become one of my favorite bands in retrospect. And using that song and just like when they used "Hooked on a Feeling" in the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Oh yeah,
Like, wow, cool.
I got you. Yeah, that's good stuff. You're right there. That is true. Well,
I have digressed completely.
No, you're fine. Okay, we ready to wrap this up?
I was born ready.
Sure, man.
Okay, all right then. As always, you can thank blah 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 blah. Okay, hold on.
You can survive too.
Yeah. You can send us an email at podcast@talesfromwombox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook page and let us know what you think there. Or, as always, you can make comments on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. And that is it for this week. We are out.